Time is valuable. That's why Lowe's Blueprint Takeoffs turn blueprints into quotes faster. Bring us your plans, and we'll generate itemized material lists to make quoting easier so you can get back to building. Plus, at the Lowe's Pro Desk, you get access to thousands of building materials not sold in store. And when your order's ready, we'll deliver everything to the job site. Improving is easy at Lowe's.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for a busy midweek. It's all about the title race at the moment, but other competitions taking centre stage for the next couple of days. Celtic against Stuttgart in the Europa League tomorrow in what will be Martin O'Neill's 1000th game in management. It's all about the Scottish Cup this evening at Pittodrie as Aberdeen and Motherwell finally lock horns to see who goes through to take on Dunfermline. And that will be the final piece because Dundee United made it through last night after seeing off Spartans to set up a meeting with Falkirk. We've got Falkirk's Brian Graham in the studio and Simon Donnelly alongside him. All this talk about the title race, now we need to make room for some other competitions as well.
Yeah, it's all to play for. And I just asked you before we came on the show about Motherwell and their chances, because I think they're still there. Obviously a few points back, but they've been had a first-class season. A big game for them tonight up at Pittodrie, which I fancy them to go and get another win. They're in superb form. So, yeah, it's all to play for.
Be interesting to see that pitch at Pittodrie. Did you see Tannadice last night?
No, well, it didn't look great, did it?
Didn't look as if there was much grass on it. So, yeah, it'll be quite interesting to see how the pitch looks tonight.
Looking forward to it all in the company of these two and you, of course. So 0141-951-1025. What are you thinking this evening, Celtic fans? Europa League, what does it mean to you right now? Because I think it was a year today, did I see that? 1 year to the day, Bayern Munich away, 1-1, a brilliant performance, coming so close. And at that night, everybody's talking about Celtic trying to take the next step in European football. All of a sudden, things change a lot in 12 months, in case you hadn't noticed. On the pitch, in the dugout, in the stands, in the boardroom, there's been a lot of change. So given that the title race is where it is at, and it is so tight, how do you feel about European football tomorrow? Is it still that burning priority for you? Are you happy to just juggle them both and make them both the priority? Or I wonder if we're going to get any calls which say you actually would think it's a bit of a distraction at the moment. You tell us though. 0141 951 1025. We're going to hear from Martin O'Neill, Celtic fans, so we'd love to hear from you. How are you feeling about European football? Bang up for it? Keen to make a dent in the competition? Or is it a bit of a distraction in the title race? That game tonight, any Motherwell fans? Well, I was going to say, if you're on your way up, you should nearly be there by now, or you'll be in trouble, but maybe you'll give us a call anyway. And Aberdeen fans, finally getting that Scottish Cup tie up and running to see who goes through. All your thoughts there. Dundee United, as we said, made it through last night as well. And I think the weekend was so big that it might be Wednesday. I still think we'll get calls looking back on the weekend because it was blockbuster. So 0141 951 1025. Brian Graham, you must be delighted, you and your teammates, with the way life is at Falkirk at the moment, albeit a rare sort of disappointment for you at the weekend.
Yeah, obviously we didn't. We went into the game hoping to get 3 points, but every game in this league is so tough, and we probably played better in the Dundee United game than we did in the Dundee game, but we came away 3 points in Dundee. So that's just sometimes it's football. Obviously, the sending off potentially had a big bearing on the match, but over the course, we've got to be happy where we are. We're in the quarterfinal of the Scottish Cup. We're sitting in the top six right now. There's a number of games left before the split. It's that old cliche, you've got to take it one game at a time, but we want to be there. And we're about the big boys this season. Has been, you can see how the title race is bidding up the way, and we are really looking forward to it. We want to be part of that, but it's up to us as a group. We've got ourselves in a good position at the moment, but that's all it is. It's in a position. We need to make sure we go over the line.
It must be such an enjoyable thing to be a part of, though, because everybody's asking me about Motherwell because they know that's where there's an interest, but Falkirk would be right up there in one of the success stories of the season. It's almost symptom of just how good it's been that there are loads of them, because you're almost taking Hearts for granted. Hearts are still top of the table, you know, it almost doesn't feel like it. They've been there for so long and they didn't get the result they wanted at the weekend. Everyone's talking about Motherwell, but for Falkirk to do what they're doing on the back of back-to-back promotions, you're a glory hunter, really. You've just jumped in for the top flight season.
Exactly, on the gravy train, as they say. So listen, where we are delighted. They've come up for the championship, as you said, and to be sitting top six, I don't think many people would have put us there.
Comfortably, yeah.
And we probably were tipped for relegation. That's what happens, you come up for the championship, but the group of boys, of John and his staff, have assembled. They've been doing the job. We've had some really good victories over the course of the season, and we want to keep pushing. I know what the manager's like, and we see him every day and how well he prepares for training and matches, and he wants this season to be successful as well. They've had great success over the last couple of years, and why can this not be a good season as well, success wise?
And you found out last night it will be Dundee United who you face. Does the Scottish Cup feel quite exciting this season as well, because Hearts are already out? You know all about that because it was Falkirk that put them out. Celtic and Rangers and Celtic are going to play each other. Is there a bit of excitement now at this stage of that competition?
Of course there is. When you look at St Mirren going and getting the cup against Celtic, and teams like ourselves, Dundee United, we all have that potential Scottish Cup glory. You've got to deem, doesn't matter what team you are, you're still left in the competition. You see the big two going up against each other, so you've got that hope that you can get yourself to Hampden, and then you just never know.
One of the feels like a big one tonight, Simon, because on the outside I hear a lot of people, and I don't know if I'm excited by this or if it makes me fear the worst, a lot of people saying, ach well, even if Motherwell are too far back in the title race, they should just go and try and win the Scottish Cup.
Yeah.
Now nobody will want to play them in the Scottish Cup, and for Aberdeen, maybe in a scenario their season could kind of hinge on tonight. If it goes wrong tonight, what's left?
Yeah, they're defending that Scottish Cup, and I'm just looking at the table as Brian's talking there. Like I said, Dundee United and Aberdeen are sitting 11-12 points behind Falkirk, so yeah, it probably is all their eggs in one basket tonight. I just feel Motherwell beat them at the weekend, albeit at Fir Park. I think Motherwell will be too strong again tonight, and you look to Motherwell getting to the semi-finals of the League Cup, where I think they maybe felt they didn't do themselves justice against St Mirren. They were much fancied for that one as well, so it's a real opportunity for them. The way they play football as well, the way this guy's got them playing, I think they'll get a great chance. Obviously, Rangers or Celtic have to exit at this round.
Well, we will build up to that one as well. We've got the weekend thoughts still bubbling away, I'm sure, and Europe for Celtic tomorrow. So get all your thoughts over to us, please, on 0141 951 1025, and put them to Simon Donnelly and or Brian Graham. Craig is a Celtic fan. First up, I'm going to throw it straight on you, Craig, to join in with that theme. How much do you care about Europe, I suppose, is what I'm asking.
See, any Celtic fan that says they want to prioritise the league over Europe or vice versa, I don't know whether I get it. We as a club should be good to fight in all fronts. I'm really looking forward to tomorrow night. I don't know. Kind of for the last few weeks, I know there's still a bit of disruption in the background and that, but as I said, the producer, being at the game on Sunday, I've been a bit, you've probably heard me saying before, I've been a bit critical of Callum McGregor. I think he's maybe going downhill a bit, but just see, I was quite near him when he was like, you seen him point to his chest and he was like, his face was growing red, and it made me really pumped up in that. And I thought, you know what? Like Brendan Rodgers said last year, he went, this is when Celtic come alive. Even in the last few times in the games, the Livingston game, the Kilmarnock game, even at half time in the Kilmarnock game, I still was confident if we got an early goal, we'd come back in it. And against Livingston, listen, you don't always want to keep on going to the well, but I'd rather have Celtic getting last minute goals than any other team.
Don't get me wrong, Craig is like, obviously right in the sense that Celtic, I'm not for a second suggesting Martin O'Neill goes and plays the under-19s tomorrow. There's not a chance he would sit there and say, I don't care about Europe, it's all about the Premiership. I'm not even saying you have to choose. I'm just trying to understand how fans feel. You know, you bang fired up for Europe, or does what's happening in the title race distract a little bit?
I don't know. I mean, I've spoke on here before. I think I was on with Hugh one time.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And it was before the Feyenoord game away from home, and Hugh had written Celtic off.
Which doesn't sound like him.
But my whole point that night, and the same just now, is momentum and keep winning games. And if they can go and win the game, I fancy Celtic to win tomorrow. This Stuttgart team are sitting fourth on the table. Whether they can get through the tie is another question, but I think Celtic might get a positive result tomorrow. And that kicks you on to the next game. Now, round the corner for Celtic, they've got Stuttgart away, Rangers twice, and Aberdeen. They are tough.
Six games in 20 days, is it?
Yeah, they are really tough. But listen, at clubs like Celtic, that's the norm. You have to, as Craig says there, you have to compete in all levels. And
but do you think Celtic got the squad to compete in all levels?
They probably could be stronger. They probably could be stronger, if I'm being honest. They brought the boys in. A couple of the lads have did okay. A couple of the boys not so much. We're judging them in a game, maybe half a game. But I just feel this, if you get a positive result tomorrow, you build on that. That takes you into the next game. Yeah. A little spring in your step.
You know, is that the way that it will be viewed, Brian, that winning football matches is a good thing, particularly winning big football matches, and it'll never be truly separate because can Celtic's league running benefit from them being good in Europe?
Of course, against momentum, it's the old saying, isn't it? Momentum in football is huge, and if Celtic can keep knocking games off and going winning 3 points in the league, potential getting through a European tie, it would be great, but Craig's still on the line. My big worry about Celtic is the depth in the squad. I asked one of the callers on Sunday that, do you think they've got the squad for it? I still don't think they do. For Scottish football, I hope they do really well in Europe tomorrow night and going forward, but with the way the league is, I think their main aims and their main priority is probably the league for me.
I mean, Craig, you think this is a chance to go and make a dent in this competition?
Definitely. I mean, listen, as you know, Stuttgart are a very good side. They're not fourth in the Bundesliga for no reason. I've got a few good, very good players. Is it Demirovic? They've got the young Steeler as well, and they're very good players. I noticed that St. Pauli beat them the other week there, so if St. Pauli can beat them, then so can we. But it just depends on our tactics. We need to really start games better, and we need the big players. Like, some of the things the two centre-halves have been doing, I mean, as I know it's an old cliche, but schoolboy stuff, they need to be more switched on, and the position has to be better, and at the top level, you don't get any room for mistakes, so they need to be switched on. We need to get behind the team. We can't always rely on the Green Brigade to sort of get the team pumped up. We need a fast start, and then we really need to sort of take our chances, because see if you look into it, like, in a nutshell, there's been times, listen, we've not been great, but there's times when the missing the chances is overshadowing the performance. Livingston, we barred them. Rangers in the first half, we barred them. If we're taking these chances, we're then going into the second half with a wee bit more fight, a wee bit more sort of confidence. But it's the, I think I said to you last year, this time last year when we were playing Bayern Munich, I was like worrying about Maeda leaving. And look at him now, he's like, he doesn't know what, you can tell he doesn't want to be there. We've all been football players and played, and when you don't want to be somewhere, the confidence drops, you sort of down tools or whatever. So we really need to be at it tomorrow night.
Do you think the team will reflect an absolute foot to the floor approach from Martin and Neil as well?
Yeah.
You mentioned the Feyenoord game. I thought Sean Maloney was quite interesting. He did the press one of the weeks, a few weeks back, in Martin and Neil's absence, and he said that the staff all had a kind of meeting before that Feyenoord game. And at that point, they kind of had to decide whether they viewed it as a big priority as well.
Uh-huh.
You know, because I think they went to Hibs just after that, didn't they?
And I think they played that night. Was it Yang and McCown? They played as the kind of wide players.
And you know, look at what happened there. They got the result, and that was a key result in them going through and so on. So you think we'll see that reflected tomorrow?
Yeah, I think it'll be a strong team again. Again, agreeing with Brian there. I don't think, looking at maybe the defence, there isn't much you can really tweak. The full backs might vary, but the centre backs will be the same, I would imagine. The rest of the team, you look at Engels, has picked up an injury. Hatate isn't at top form, and Chamberlain can't play tomorrow, am I right? So there's going to be a change in the middle of the park, I would imagine. But I think it'll still be a strong team. I think the word's momentum. You know, go and get a positive result there, and then it takes you into the next game against Hibs on Sunday.
Celtic playing at Parkhead, it's always going to be a strong team. It's a European night. The Celtic fans demand that. I don't think there'll be any change to that.
I think
that,
as Craig
approach.
Says there, getting off to a fast start, I was covered the Livy game. They should have had that game out of sight in the first 20 minutes. You were there. And, you know, we see what happens, you know, when you don't take your chances. And I'm going back to that Utrecht game, the last one that I covered. They got off to a quick start in that game, but they get pegged back as well. So, at the moment, the games don't seem to be plain sailing for Celtic at the moment. They seem to be, you know, right to the wire in the last three games. But yeah, they have to start the game. Some sort of intensity.
Let's thank Craig in Livingston. Let's bring it closer to the studio. Mark is in Yoker. How do you feel about Europe at the moment, Mark, with everything else going on?
Evening, gentlemen. I think it's a distraction that we could probably do without, given the run-up games coming up. But listen, the Celtic, you have to be ambitious in Europe and want to do well in the competition. Our whole club's built on that foundation, so I think it's important that we take this game seriously. If we end up having a bad result Thursday, then perhaps next week we then obviously change the squad or whatever, change the team. But my point tonight, gentlemen, was regarding our midfield. I think with Engels out injured, it leaves a massive problem. He does a lot of the running in the middle of that park. He provides the legs. He's not so great on the ball, but certainly off the ball. I think he does a lot of Callum McGregor's dirty work. So what are our options then to replace him? I think Negrin starts for sure, but then I don't trust. I think Hatate's an empty shirt. I think Bernardo has not done enough to warrant a place, and McCowan's probably not good enough at this level. So for me, I would actually go look around the squad and go, right, who can play? Who can get their foot in the ball, can put a tackle in, can run about and put themselves about? And for me, I'd go with one of the fullbacks, either Araujo, Tierney or Sarachi, in the middle of that park alongside Negrin and McGregor. I think they would do a job. I think they'd do a job better than the other options anyway, certainly. They're all good football players, and I think you can then cover, so that perhaps Donovan could play right back, or even if Sarachi plays in the middle, Tierney obviously left back. It gives you options, but I think over the choices available, for me that would be one of the best options to go with one of those three.
I like your thinking, but I don't think Celtic will do that. Celtic midfielders, they're good players, that's why they're at Celtic. I know a lot of Celtic fans right now are giving Hatate a bit of a time because he's not playing at the levels he had been previously, and I understand that, but at the same time, it's a European tie. They're not going to be shepherding fullbacks into play centre mid when they've got capable guys in the squad.
Yeah, I mean, Simon, does that, what, I take Mark's point, Mark's outlined why he distrusts Bernardo, Hatate, etc. so much, but you must have like a real lack of faith in them, a real midfield crisis before you start moving. Because also, I'm not saying they're not good, and I've no idea how they would do. I'm not pretending they would be bad, but we've also seen nothing to sort of base that on. You know, sometimes somebody might have played in there. As far as Kieran Tierney, never. Julian Araujo, we're just getting used to him. Sarachi, you know what? If you sort of pick one of them ahead of all those other midfielders, is that an admission of quite a big problem?
Listen, I'm not dismissing Mark's suggestion completely, but I'm with Brian. I think you've got midfielders there. Hatate, for me, on his day, is one of the best midfielders in Scotland. He's shown it time and time again. At the moment, he's struggling to find form, and he's getting a bit of criticism.
Is it more than that, though? Are those days,
I don't know,
are those days where he's one of the best midfielders in Scotland gone? Do they not seem quite a distance away?
Yeah, it seems to be, in the games that I've seen recently, it seems to be somebody else. It does. There was a couple of little things in the Livingston game where I thought he could have shot. He's tried to play it in first time, and he's a clever enough player to do things like that. Things like that are going against him. He's getting a reaction from the fans there. Bernardo, for me, when he's come in, hasn't he done enough? But then I sympathise with him a wee bit, because he's not had a run, but you're not guaranteed a run. You need to come in and take that chance straight away. Who else is there? Engels is the one that has been played more often than not. He's out injured, so I don't know who they play tomorrow. McGregor and Negrin, for me, definitely.
Bearing in mind, Simon, Engels was getting it in the neck as well at times.
I know he was.
So now we're coming back to that.
Martin, you know, plays him more often than not, so he's obviously seen something in Engels there that it's valuable in his team.
So is Hatate gone to the extent, Mark, you don't think you can pick him from the start going forward?
I don't think we've seen anything this season to suggest that he's I think we're going to be up against a right good side tomorrow, a team that will move the ball quickly, will be physical, as all German teams tend to be, and I just think he's overpowered these days. I don't know if he's maybe not quite got the legs he used to have, or his mentality's no right. I can't quite put my finger on it, but if I was in the German midfield and I was up against a midfield of Negrin, McGregor and Hatate, I'm rubbing my hands, because all you really have to do is get the better of Callum McGregor and you win the midfield battle for me, because there's no other dig in there. There's no one's going to put a tackle in or
or, you know, their shoulder in or be physical. So you just out muscle Callum McGregor. The other two are not up for that kind of challenge. They don't like it. So for me, you need a bit of muscle in there, because these boys are going to be physical, they're going to be quick, they're going to be technically gifted. And Hatate's just not at that level just now. Nothing suggests this season he can reach that level.
Is this why people are looking at, you know, whether it's something psychological or not wanting to be there or whatever? Because Mark says, you know, maybe his legs. He's 28 years of age. There can't be a physical.
It can't be his legs.
There has to be something else.
We don't obviously know what's going on in the background. It might potentially be something else. But at the same time, if, say for example, he does want to leave the football club, these are the nights he'd probably want to play in to showcase his talents, because he is a fantastic footballer. We don't know what's going on, and there is a wee bit disconnect there between the fans and Hatate at the moment because of some of his performance. But I tend to agree with Simon. On his day, he is one of the best midfielders in Scotland by a country mile.
What did you make of that at the weekend then, where he's one that's hooked at half time? Clearly he didn't play well, and that's partly why. Is there a bit of sympathy for him because everybody was underperforming, and then you can are the scapegoat, or
it's not really your
scapegoat? Are you then part of it?
As your manager, you've got decisions to make. And to be fair to Martin O'Neill, he came out after the game and says if he'd have made seven, he'd have made seven.
Yeah.
So it's sometimes as players, when your team, you're 11 players on the pitch, and if you're not playing particularly well in that game, you find yourself 2-0 down, there's always going to be changes. And as Martin said after the game, it could have been a few more, but Hatate found himself as one of the unlucky ones, and then that adds pressure onto the burden that the Celtic fans are already in his back, then they give him fuel to the fire.
Well, Mark does think that Europe is a bit of a distraction at the moment, Celtic fans. The previous fan didn't, to be fair. How do you feel? Let us know, and you can join in. We will hear from Martin O'Neill after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard coverage of the European knockout rounds with South Lanarkshire Leisure and Culture. Feel better with an all-inclusive membership, gym, swim and more.
Yeah, big night in Europe tomorrow for Celtic. Let's hear from Martin O'Neill. He says he was surprised to learn tomorrow is his 1,000th game in management. He says he's delighted to reach that milestone.
Well, two things. One, it's a real surprise because I'd never counted the games, genuinely never. So, when the LMA told me yesterday about it, it did come as a big surprise to me. It's nice to do, and it's really pleasing. But I have to thank Celtic for doing it. Otherwise, it wouldn't have happened. You know, so I didn't know that was the amount of games, or the number of games, I should say, left to do. If I'd counted them up, then I would have definitely asked some football club, could they have me in to just cover the rest of the games? Yeah. Anyway, but it's nice. If you'd seen my early matches at Leicester City in late 95, early 96, you'd have got long odds of me doing 1,000 games in that time. So,
how's he managed this? Every game at the moment, was it not
300 Celtic the other day?
200th league game, straight into 300th Celtic game overall,
now
and 1,000th.
I know,
it's incredible.
Ticking all the boxes.
The way it's all lined up. But you can hear there, obviously, that wouldn't have been on his radar last year.
When you're made aware of it, obviously, it's something to be proud of. And he's obviously joking there with his comments about Leicester, and maybe not suggesting he would have got this far, but he certainly wouldn't have thought he'd got this far at the start of this season, that's for sure.
Do you know, Brian Graham, how many career appearances you've made?
No.
Neither do I, but I will find out. I will look it up. I just thought I would, just in case you did, off the top of your head. Neil is on the line. Hi, Neil.
Hi, how you doing? Evening, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure. How you doing?
Hey, Neil.
And I just want to say, Sid, any chance you can pull the boots on tomorrow night and give us a dig out?
Oh, not desperate, Neil. Come on. Don't be silly, Neil.
Come on.
Honestly. He's about 60, this guy now. How old are you again?
He's got to be better at the football than he is at Beat the Pundit. So.
Wouldn't be hard.
That's a backhanded compliment.
Are you bang up for Europe, Neil? First caller was like, all in, this is what Celtic's all about. Next caller said it was a distraction. Which camp are you in?
I'm looking forward to it because we've got Martin O'Neill in the dugout, and when we had Martin O'Neill in the dugout in 2003, even in the Champions League before that, when we were beating Juventus and stuff like that, you know, we and Ajax, and when we went on the run to Seville, we weren't given a chance really against the likes of Liverpool and Blackburn. So And that was with the squad that we had back then. So, you know, 1,000 games on, the squad's most definitely weaker than the Seville squad, but it's still Martin O'Neill, and it's still the magic that he has and the belief that he has. He loves the club. He's a Celtic man, and he installs that in every player that crosses the white line. I could really do without us waiting to the 95th minute to score a winner. I'd really, if we're going to do it, it'd be nice to do it in normal time. But I just think with Martin there, under the lights, Celtic Park on a European night, you know, hopefully we've got a good crowd in, and, you know, he can carry us through into the second leg. But it's nice to be in Europe at this time of the season. And it is a test on the, you know, the squads, because we're fighting on three fronts at the minute. But I'd rather be in it than not, if I'm honest.
Played Stuttgart as well, of course, back then. Sean Maloney scored.
It's written in the stars. It really is, you know.
I wasn't going to go that far, but I'll take your word for it. I mean, Simon, Martin O'Neill, I never know quite how much to lean into this. You know, he gets it. He knows what Celtic's all about. I mean, of course he does. It speaks for itself. Do you think he is kind of starting to relish these European nights again? It's been a disappointing season in many ways for Celtic, but some of their better moments have come under him in Europe.
Yeah, I just wrote down there the Feyenoord game that we spoke about, and then the Bologna game, where they got a point which gave him the chance to get into this knockout stage, you know, and his first one was the disappointment of Midtjylland away over there. I think that was the defeat, the only defeat in Europe that he's experienced this season. So, I just keep going back to it. I know Celtic fans out there might have different opinions on it. I just feel, whether it's an old school look at it, that, you know, you want to win every game, and it's a European night, as Neil says there, and the fans that, you know, turn up tomorrow will be all behind the team. And you never know in these tournaments, do you? I mean, they get a run in it, you never know. I think,
do you believe in that Martin O'Neill factor, Brian? Or, you know, as Neil mentioned, like the squad's just so different now to what it was then.
I know it's so different. You can go, that team Martin O'Neill had back then, Larson, Sutton, Mayalby, they were an incredible side, got all the way to the final. Unfortunately, they lose to a fantastic Jose Mourinho's Porto side. So, but coming it this way, the Celtic fans demand to win. It doesn't matter who they're playing or what competition they've been like that. You go back to even Tommy Burns, they're there and they're always there, sort of thing. That famous phrase that he says after, I think it was a Scottish Cup game. Celtic fans have this demand that they want to win, and it'll be no different tomorrow night. We have spoken about their squad depth. That could become an issue in the coming months because, as the caller said, they're fighting on all fronts. But at the same time, going to that tomorrow night, the lights are shining at Parkhead. Probably never walk alone at start of Celtic game to come on. The atmosphere will build, and Celtic fans what he won, simple as that.
It's not been quite the atmosphere we're used to this season, of course, but an update of sorts on that. Let's hear from Martin O'Neill, who says he believes some progress has been made following talks between the supporters and the board. He says the backing they got at Rugby Park at the weekend played a big part in their turnaround.
I think a full house here at Celtic Park is something special. It's every European night that I've had in the past, way back then, was just filled with special moments. You know, teams where I think generally, and I'm talking about the really major sides, were still very, very concerned about coming here. You know, the passion, the drive, and the noise it's made. I remember here our game against Liverpool in that UEFA run. John Robertson, my old friend, was standing beside me and speaking to me. I couldn't hear a word he was saying for the first 10 or 15 minutes. It was so, so loud. Little bits have been lost from that, and that's regrettable, to use your word, I think. And I'm hoping that, I think there has been some discussions, which I obviously wasn't party to, but I hear that I think that there's been some progress made. But as I've been saying this here, the sooner that there is unity at Celtic Park, the better for all concerned. I have no doubt at all that the crowd behind the goal on Sunday contributed greatly to us fighting back in the game. No question about that.
Let's bring in Thomas and ask for his thoughts. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, Gordon, Brian, Simon. How are we all?
Good, thank you. What have you got for us?
Well, what I've got is sort of a two-part point. Part one of said point is On your question, Gordon, at the beginning of the show regarding the importance that fans are placing on this European tie, Celtic fans placing on this European tie, and my personal thoughts are, and this isn't a criticism of you or anyone on this programme as individuals, but this sort of, this is well-trodden ground, this sort of, it adds extra games, it's a distraction, it gets in the way, right? And I really struggle with that because it's two games. Do you know what I mean? It's two games, and if we win these two games, the next two games are in like a month. It's not as if the next two games are in a week's time. So the idea of it being a distraction or getting in the way or et cetera, et cetera, I find a bit of a problematic idea, really, as on a general point.
I think I would be like you, Thomas. If it was my team, I think I'd be the same. You want to just kind of play these big games and all that stuff. But to be fair, to look at the other side of the argument, it was one of your fellow Celtic fans, the last caller, who said it was a distraction. And I know you say only two games, but six games in 20 days is a lot worse than four games in 20 days, isn't it?
Well, it is, Gordon. I acknowledge that. Obviously, six is more than four. You know, I'm not here to give you a math lesson, but that is, six is more than four.
No, but not just, but condensed in that period, you know, that's quite a different schedule over that period, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is, and I can see that point. Personally, my point on that would be something I think I heard a previous caller say. I can't remember who exactly it was, but someone said, it's Celtic, this is what Celtic is about playing in Europe, and that's sort of where my point is. And on a sort of related note, however, I said it's only two games, and I was expecting, when I heard you start to come back on that sentence, I was expecting you to say, well, what if it's not just two games? And that is actually my secondary point, which is, regardless of the schedule and the whether it's a distraction, whether it's not, whether we prioritise League, Europe, whatever we prioritise, I think just as a game of football, I think we've got very little chance of really doing anything in this tie. Just you look at Stuttgart, obviously fourth in the Bundesliga, I believe. You look at Celtic, you know, we're on this winning run, but you look at the levels of performances and we've been mostly dreadful and just managing to dig ourselves out of holes against teams, with all due respect to them, you know, Kilmarnock, Dundee, Livingston, probably three of the worst teams in Scotland this season. So I've got very little belief that we'll be able to do much. And I heard Simon say to the contrary earlier on, and say that he believes, due to previous results that we had got in Europe, that he thought that, you know, we've got a good chance. I would love to be proven wrong, but I just don't see it personally.
What do you think, Brian? Feyenoord would be the kind of the high point, probably. You mentioned Bologna, that was a different type of performance. Probably wasn't having to go and be hard enough to beat. Celtic did well to beat Utrecht and do the job they had to do, but they weren't great and they were kind of out already. How do you, is this the toughest test yet?
I think so, yes. And it's coming off the back of the way Celtic have been winning of late, but it's the Martin O'Neill effect. I think that at home Celtic have got a chance. But you go back to the game and they won away in Feyenoord. Simon mentioned it earlier. Not many people thought they were going to go out there and win that game. They managed to do so. Bologna go and get a good point with 10 men. It's the way he's got some of the players, and it's even, to be fair, Celtic, Sean Maloney and like Fotheringham. It looks as if the right atmosphere within the camp. Even when they're scoring those late minute goals, they're running to the bench. It looks as if there's a unit there. They're togetherness. So I think Celtic at home have got a chance. I think it'll be a different story over there. They're a good side, and it's going to be a really tough test for Celtic, but at home I think they've got a chance.
Yeah, looking at their recent results, they've not lost many recently. Stuttgart come with a decent result. Yeah. Previous caller mentioned St Pauli, the game that was on the 7th of February, but other than that, pretty good record recently. Thank you very much to Thomas on the line. I just became invested in your career stats there for a minute to see. The problem is, I took a very quick look, you know, and I'm clearly listening intently to what you're all saying, but I think you're about to hit 650.
Is that right?
I think you're going to hit it in the next couple of weeks, but I'll need to double check. I don't want to give you false shit.
Phone John, make sure I get on.
Exactly. Just put him on for 2 minutes, give him his moment. Anyway, we will do plenty more of that when we, not that, I don't mean, that's probably the last we'll mention of Brian Graham statistics. We'll do plenty more talk about Celtic, I'm sure. What about Rangers, you Rangers fans? What's on your mind? You get to sit back and rest, if that's the way you're looking at it, in the context of the title race this midweek. And of course, Europe wasn't a success this season. I think everybody knows that, largely down to the start to the season. But give us all your thoughts on what's going on at the moment whilst I run this past you. Clyde One. We have a life-changing £475,000 up for grabs this time on Make Me A Winner. Craig was the winner this past Friday. He was talking about paying off his wedding, which I still think is incredible, because what kind of wedding are you going to do in with that type of cash? But it could be you with the big financial decisions, nice financial decisions to make this weekend. So get in the draw by texting yes to 61025. The texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you'll find all the rules for this network competition, or call 03 434 269 340, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. Lines close 5pm on Friday, so text yes to 61025 and good luck from us.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Brian Graham are here. There's lots going on, still ramifications from the weekend. We'll get Europe for Celtic tomorrow. We've got the Scottish Cup last night and tonight. I'll do the Motherwell and Aberdeen teams in the not too distant future. Really, really interesting team from Jens Bertil Askew. But let's kick off this part with Alan, who's a Rangers fan on the line. Hi, Alan.
How you doing, Gordon? How you doing, guys?
Yeah, Alan. Good, thanks. Good. What are you thinking?
Yep. I was on last week and I was saying how Chermitia, I don't know if you remember, but I was saying how Chermitia had used up all the goodwill and he doesn't really do that much. He's not really contributing that much to the team. And let's be honest, he's done me up like a kipper, hasn't he? He's, he's bagged a hat-trick. And I think the worst day it was, you guys went and made a YouTube kind of short out of it all. So I was all garrulous saying, oh, look at this, you guys have agreed with me. And yeah, and then he's went and scored three, so I don't know what he's doing.
yeah, definitely good. There's like an enigmatic quality there at the moment. You know, Rangers fans have been through this with Dessers in, yeah, in a different way. You know, we just don't quite know whether they like him or not, for want of a better expression. But listen,
I think it was different with Dessers, though. I think Dessers was an out and out goal scorer and he still got it in the net. But that's what happens when you play with these big clubs in Scotland. And to be fair to the big boy, he's come in with that price tag, but you've got to give him credit. The big games, he's coming up trumps, and that's sometimes, that's what can get you over the line come May.
Is it that stats and quite incredible where all but one of his goals have come against Hearts or Celtic? Mm. You know, so try to make that. You'll have seen over the years loads of strikers that get accused of the opposite stuff. You know, yes, they can score against the other teams,
so called B teams. Yeah, team. Listen, and it might just be going back to maybe the Celtic game. That's maybe the confidence that the young lad needed. He's come into the Rangers set up, you know, with that price tag hanging over his head, which, you know, I don't really get at times. But you know, he seemed to be hit over the head with that kind of thing. Adam Eder had it at Celtic with the 9 million. So I think the big guy, he can shift, he's quick, he's took his goals well at the weekend again. I think he will build on it with his confidence.
He's not like an Ali McCoy, out and out goal scorer.
No,
he's
not.
An all-rounder.
You look at his goal at the weekend, he gets a little bit of a break of the ball, doesn't he? The first one comes back to him and he puts it in at the near post. And I think maybe just like other strikers, builds on that confidence. Fantastic header in the second half as well, and then the one at the end. Listen, I think playing with the other lad, was it Nadira? The boy up front as well, maybe helps as well, with two strikers up there, which I don't mind.
Takes a wee bit of pressure off him.
Takes a little bit of pressure off him, but he's certainly, he's popped up with some important goals. And as I say, I just go back to the Celtic Park game where he pops up with the two, he maybe just builds on that, you know, and that gives him the confidence.
Alan, do you think he can kick on from here? That was the bit that was probably, well, was missing after the Celtic goals. You know, then it didn't have that kind of springboard effect for him. Think it will this time?
I've got to hope so. You've got to hope he just kind of finds some consistency and he just kind of kicks on. But we thought that the last time, but he just needs to go again. Do you know what I mean? We just need to have faith in the team and hopefully he can pop up with another few along the way. But I'm thinking maybe he's maybe heard last week, and that's maybe like a wee fire, so I'm going to take partial credit for it.
All right, okay.
Stay assist.
The Dazzler agreed with us as well, so he's maybe been listening, and then he's thought, I'm going to go and prove those boys wrong. So
well, I like to think so. I like to think we've got that type of influence. Wednesday night's a good night to ask this, I think, Alan, because the sort of emotion has probably dropped off from the weekend. You're looking at things with a bit of a calmer head. Where does the weekend's results leave the title race for you as a Rangers fan?
It's just all about the next game for me. Just,
oh, come on, Alan, for goodness sake. What are you? You're trying to become the manager?
I know. I think we're in with a good shout, but I mean, let's be honest, history in the past few years hasn't been in our favour. But we just kind of, we just go again and we just, you know, as Roel says, we just build game by game. And we just look forward to the next game and hopefully getting our 3 points against London.
I was hoping Alan was going to stick his neck out one way or the other. Do you expect loads of twists and turns still to come when you just down the simple fact that for all the so-called doom and gloom around Hearts after the weekend, and by the way, we're going to hear from Derek McInnes, so I'd like to hear from you Hearts fans, as we will definitely talk about on this show. Rangers and Celtic play each other very, very soon.
Yeah.
So on that day, Hearts are then, they know that they there's an opportunity there.
Something
as well. So
to give. Yeah.
And that's going to keep happening.
I thought you were going to ask, but I've got no idea where this is going. I mean, if you'd asked me at half time, there'll be part of Sunday. I'm sitting,
that'd have been a different answer,
on the couch. And even the games before it, you know, the twist was on the gantry with you for the Livingston game when Motherwell equalised so late in that and everything turned.
Against Rangers, yeah.
Yeah, in a few minutes. I really don't know.
But it's really exciting for Scottish football.
It is. And listen, one of the callers touched on it earlier on about the last minute goals. It's a great way to win it, but it's a lot of stress as well out there. And I don't think Celtic fans will, you know, they'll want to wrap games up quicker, but I don't see that happening. I see more twists and turns in this title race.
Alan, we've been asking, because tomorrow Rangers, Celtic are playing in Europe, that's been the kind of main talking point, and asking their fans, you know, is Europe a distraction? Do you think Celtic having a minimum of two extra games in this busy schedule helps your team's chances of winning the league?
I'm honest, I try not to focus on them. I really don't.
You are a football manager in training, you, Alan, honestly.
I thought about the Rangers. I think, you know, having an extra couple of games, yeah, I mean, let's be honest, it does help, but in no way will we be using that as an excuse, because, you know, we obviously want to be there in Europe as well, and we're not, so, but time will tell if it has an influence or not.
That's fine. So on Sunday, when you both play at the same time, you will not be checking the Celtic score, you won't be taking an interest to see where it leaves you.
I'll maybe have one.
I thought you might. Thank you very much to Alan on the line. That was Alan in Cambus Lang. But that's going to be the nature of it, isn't it? You know, just that constant now. Either
Gordon, I was straight over to you on the gantry. Mm-hmm. You'd your iPad with the Motherwell game.
My Sky Go was a bit behind that night, wasn't it?
A bit behind,
because the Celtic fans all cheered, and you were the one that said to me, Motherwell must be about to score. They just cheered, and I'm going, it can't be that far. Why? They're passing the ball back.
Yeah.
I know.
So everybody does that. Everybody does that, including players.
This is actually, we ridiculed rightly your colleague Gordon DL went to the Motherwell Rangers game. So it takes a lot to get him out of the house, even though it's right next to his house. Yeah. And he was home and in bed by the time Stephen Welsh scored. Right?
No way.
No chance. Yeah.
He left that, and he lives just across. So he was home and in bed. And he claims that he heard the cheer from Fir Park before he saw it. But see, we just mentioned this last night, small story. See the number of people that have sent me a message today saying, well, it would be behind, because we know he'd have been watching it in the dodgy telly.
Screw arms and legs.
Unfounded allegations, I'm sure. Let's play this.
Beat the pundit.
with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, beat the pundit time. Give us a call, 01419511025. Pit your wits against Simon Donnelly or Brian Graham and try and win yourself either a sign ball or the new Beat the Pundit coin. The lines close at 7.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Brian Graham is here alongside Simon Donnelly. And as always in Scottish football, there is a lot going on. A big cup game tonight to complete the lineup for the next round of the Scottish Cup. It's Aberdeen against Motherwell. The winner will play Dunfermline away. And of course after that it is Hampden. So lots of incentive out there. Jens Bertolascu in particular has picked a very interesting Motherwell team, made some very interesting changes. Is he focused on the title race maybe? That would be the suggestion. We'll take a look at that once we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, come on then. Beat the Pundit time. We're having a bit of a crisis. We're giving away too many balls recently, said producer Chris. Did you see the amount that you had to sign when you came in here? Yeah. Well, that's for last week alone. We gave away 10 in 5 days last week. I'm exaggerating slightly, but that's the way that it feels. Who was last night? Last night's contestant. It was a bit of a man of mystery. He was from, where was he? He was from here, but he was in Spain, but he lived in Luxembourg. He was up to something, that guy. Uh-huh. Then we had another one that phoned in to say that he'd been arrested. He was from Partick in Turkey, but had been in Nigeria and got arrested and had to like get flown out. It's a strange night.
Getting these calls. Right?
To be fair, I was going to say Scott and Wisher's not quite as exotic, but he's coming home from working offshore, Scott. So where are you right now? Are you on the road?
I'm on the road. I'm on the way home from Aberdeen, lads. Yeah, so just pulled into a lay-by.
Quite right. Got your priorities sorted.
How are you doing? Right.
All good here. Good, all good. Scott. Are you well?
Yeah, all good. Yeah, three weeks home, so.
Nice.
Just on my way back for a
catch-up.
Is he on his own?
Sounds it to me. You're not going to take pals with you offshore. Maybe you would. Are you car schooling, or are you on your own?
No, well, normally we car share, but a couple of the guys have had to travel themselves, so they're just in their own wee car now. So
there we go. Right, okay. Let's
listen to this, having a wee giggle.
Exactly. Let's toss the coin. If it's the blue side of the coin, it will be Brian Graham. If it's the red side, it will be Simon Donnelly. Still in bad form this season. I feel like we've not.
I can't remember.
Choose not to remember.
I think I'm bottom.
Let's see, you go. Oh, you're back on though. You've got a chance to climb. All I'm going to say to you both, I don't know what side of the bed that producer woke up on this morning. I think these are really tough.
Are they?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it's Simon.
I'm afraid so. Right, let's give Simon something else to listen to. Scott, you have 30 seconds. Answer as many questions as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay? All right,
no,
your time, your 30 seconds going on the clock, and your time starts now. How many Rangers managers were there in the 90s?
Three.
Celtic played which club in the 1970 European Cup final?
Hamburg.
Who managed Motherwell to their last Scottish Cup final?
Mark McGee.
What was the name of the fictional Scottish club in A Shot at Glory?
Pass.
What year is on Aberdeen's badge? 1903 or 1904?
1903.
Name either side who competed in the 2025 Nations League final.
Scotland.
Well, I wish. Ready? Let's bring back Simon. Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Same set of questions to you. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. How many managers did Rangers have in the 90s?
Four.
Celtic played which club in the 1970 European Cup final?
Feyenoord.
Who managed Motherwell to their last Scottish Cup final?
Tommy McLean.
What was the name of the fictional Scottish club in A Shot at Glory?
Oh, pass.
What year is on Aberdeen's badge, 1903 or 1904?
03.
Name either side who competed in the 2025 Nations League final.
France.
Okay. Scott, what's the verdict?
I think he maybe just beat me. That last one, I was kind of a bit.
Would you agree they're hard though?
I thought they were hard.
Because sometimes I say that and then I get made to look foolish and the pundits get quite a few right, but I thought they were very tricky. How many managers did Rangers have in the 90s? Graham Souness, just 91. Walter Smith, Dick Advocaat, That was it. Three. So Scott goes 1-0 in front. However, you hit back. Scott's a Rangers fan. He got the Rangers question right. You're a Celtic fan. You hit back. 1970 European Cup final. Feyenoord lost after extra time in the San Siro.
Yeah, Janssen played.
1-1. Who managed Motherwell to their last Scottish Cup final? Neither of you were correct. Motherwell, you're thinking when 91, they won it. But they've been in the final since then.
Oh, right. I was quite confident. I was at that game.
Stephen Robinson played Celtic in both the League Cup and the Scottish Cup
that
season.
That one.
He got Mark McGee, so I'm afraid not. I'm disappointed in you. It's been in the news this week. The sad passing of Robert
Bobby
Duvall.
Yeah.
What was the name of the fictional Scottish club in A Shot at Glory? Would you get that, Brian?
No.
They were in green and white, weren't they?
It's Kilnockie.
Kilnockie.
FC.
Yeah. I heard that the other day as well.
I must admit, I've never seen it. I feel like I know all about it, but I've never actually seen it.
Bits of it. They play in green and white. The coist was in green and white hoops.
What year is an Aberdeen's badge, 1903 or 1904? You both went 1903 and you were both correct, which means we stay level. Name either side who competed in the 2025 Nations League final. Scott's given us a real boost. He said Scotland. That was incorrect. France, also incorrect. It was Spain or Portugal. But they were hopeless against us in the Nations League. Remember, they did not score late over there. We drew 0-0 at Hampden. Remember Ronaldo and his wee huff?
Yeah.
And they went all the way.
Oh, I almost said Portugal.
So speaking of going all the way, you two are going to have to go on a tiebreaker. The tiebreaker last night as well.
Right, okay,
Scott, I will ask the question. I'll get Simon to write his answer down and then invite you to give me your attempt, okay?
Right, no problem.
Right. How many men's Scottish Cups have Glasgow clubs won in the history of the competition? So how many men's Scottish Cups have Glasgow clubs won in the history of the competition? Right, Simon, write your answer down, please. Quickly. Right, what are you saying? Okay, Scott, give us your attempt.
I'm going to go 78.
Okay, 78. Simon's gone 65. The answer is 89. Scott has done it. I actually think the producers have now introduced a steward's inquiry in my ear, saying Clyde won three when based in Rutherglen. So you would add that to the,
what's the breakdown?
But anyway, it's either, it's somewhere in 89 to the early 90s. It's not going to affect the outcome. Scott's won it. That's the way I'm looking at it. Anyway,
I felt good about that as well. I felt as if I'd won that.
They were tough though.
Yeah,
New Rangers had 30 odd, and I'm sure Celtic's kind of maybe in the low 40s, and then Queen's Park.
That's right. So 42 Celtic, 34 Rangers. Queen's Park are the third in the highest, third overall. They've got 10. 10? Yeah, way back.
Silly guess.
I mean, the producers are now getting very specific, saying that Rutherglen's in South Lanarkshire. I mean, I know it is kind of council wise.
Many of the Clyde not in it.
because, like, yeah, I don't know. How many miles would separate Rutherglen and Queen's Park, where they play their home games?
Not a lot.
A couple?
No.
But anyway, we won't split hairs over it. Scott has won.
Well done.
Are you taking the sign ball or the coin?
I'll go the coin, please, Gordon.
Nice, good choice. Because we're running out of sign balls, quite frankly. So it's a good choice. What are you making of your team at the moment, Scott? You've been away, offshore. I take it you managed to keep in touch and all that. You see the game at the weekend?
I did. I made sure that I got time away from work to go and watch it. But no, they played well. Kind of happy with how it's going recently. A point away to Motherwell is not a bad point, considering how well Motherwell were playing. So, no, positive. The big 6 weeks, I would say, though, for the three clubs.
How confident do you feel that it works out well for Rangers come the end of the season?
I don't want to say. I don't want to jinx it.
So you are quite confident then? That mean you are quite confident though?
I think if we've got to go on a run. We can't not go on a run. We have to go on a run before the split, because the split's going to be a flip of the coin.
Have the new signings helped?
I'm happy with them. Chukwani's looking really good. Romans as well. So hopefully now they get our run of games with no midweek fixtures, which is a massive thing for Rangers. So, fingers crossed. But I'm not happy with them so far.
Is that, you seen an impact from those January signings? I mean, Celtic would make a case as well with Oxlade-Chamberlain and Adamu got that important goal, but we've not maybe seen they've not quite had the minutes yet, apart from Oroko, Chivantura, who were in at the start. Chukwuemi, Romans, Brian.
I think the fullback for Rangers, he's running power, getting in behind. And especially if Rangers are going to play with two up front, he's getting in behind, getting into areas where he can cross the ball into the box. He can become a big asset. I think Rangers have come out the January transfer window probably the better of the three at the top at the moment. But I'm going to go back to it and say I'm not ruling Motherwell out just yet. If they win that game in hand, it goes to 7 points into the split. It could be a four-way tie for the title.
I'm just now thinking, Scott, about your schedule. What's your offshore schedule for the end of May? Where are you going to be?
I'm at home come the end of the split.
Oh, you've timed that.
I checked that well. I think I'm at home. So on the Motherwell note, my stepdad's a season ticket holder at Firth Park, so he'll be delighted to hear you saying it. He thinks Motherwell's got a shot at getting the league title as well.
Well, listen, I'm actually going to go into this Motherwell team in a second. I'm fascinated by this and the thinking behind it. So let's thank Scott. There is a signed ball. We're definitely sending it to Wisher, not offshore, right? Because we've got postal costs to think about here, Scott. So well done. Congratulations again.
Brilliant, guys. Thanks
well done,
so much.
Scott. Well done, Scott.
Good man, Scott. Another one with Simon Donnelly in his mantelpiece.
Too many of them.
Sorry. I do think they were tough. I don't hold that one against you tonight. They were tough. You went to pit. You lost in the lottery of penalties.
I finished that. I went earlier celebrate. I thought I'd won.
Did you really?
I did. Aye. Well, I thought France was worse. Going to get me over the line, but
there is nothing worse.
You hope.
Right. Let me talk about this Scottish Cup tie tonight. Any Motherwell fans out there or Aberdeen fans? Now would be a great time. Just jump on quickly if you can. 01419511025. And let us know what you are thinking ahead of this game tonight, because it is a big game. We mentioned everyone started talking about not only Motherwell and where they are in the league, but if they can't quite make it, maybe they're showing the form that means they can win the Scottish Cup. Aberdeen will have other ideas, and Aberdeen's season might be in danger of petering out to not very much if this doesn't go to plan tonight. They can still make the top six, so maybe they'll surprise us. But Brian Graham's sitting here, so he'll hope Falkirk certainly keep their spot. Right, Motherwell, talking big quarter final, Scottish Cup, they've made six changes to the team, including one in goal. So Callum Ward has been excellent, and Matty Connolly, who hasn't started many, if any, he started some of the League Cup games at the start of the season. Matty Connolly in goal, a back four of Tom Sparrow, Paul McGinn, Liam Gordon comes back in, and Stephen O'Donnell goes to left back. Midfield three of Oscar Priestman, Lucas Fadinger, not suspended for this one after he's red against Rangers, and Elijah Just, and Regan Charles-Cook, Tawanda Maswanisi, maybe more of a supporting role tonight rather than the out-and-out number nine, because that slot belongs to Aitor Bjørgolfsson, getting his first start. That means some of the so-called big hitters, the ones that really play quite a lot, Callum Ward, the goalkeeper, Elliot Watt, Emmanuel Longello, Ibrahim Said, Callum Slattery, all on the bench, and Stephen Welsh, cup tied, of course. Really worth that run out against Auchinleck Talbot or whatever it was.
Are you looking
at me? No, it's just it's your fault. You're the Celtic spokesman in here. Are you surprised at that? Is that a Motherwell manager that's focusing on the league? He would say no.
Thanks. Val, listen, he's not going to take the competition lightly. He wants to get to the next round of it, but he might just have that belief within the squad that played a couple of days ago against Aberdeen, freshen it up to go again, playing away from home. You still get the big one in there. Maswanisi's still playing. He's a top goal scorer. Elijah Just, he's been massive for them this season. He's still playing. McGinn at the back's been excellent for them all season. So they've still got the spine for me of their team that have been in week after week. Yes, they've made a number of changes elsewhere, but they've still got that spine for me that potentially can go and get a result tonight.
To be fair, they have made changes at times. They have made wholesale changes, and it's never really impacted things. The team just kind of functions the same. I'd need to check the numbers before just throwing this out there, though, but it feels like he hadn't been doing that quite as much recently. That feels like quite a bold selection.
Yeah, but as Brian says, maybe just a case of, you know, the game coming around again, same opposition, going to freshen up. I actually looked at the team there as well, and Maswanisi just getting his goal at the weekend, two of Motherwell's top performers still in the starting 11. Others on the bench there. I think it shows a confidence in the manager. I think he really obviously backs his squad. I've heard you talk about it before, you know, when he shuffled the pack, because it's such a big game again tonight. But I think it's a great opportunity for Motherwell. you know, as I say, Celtic or Rangers are going to drop out this competition. And on evidence of what we've seen with their performances this season, I still think they'll win tonight. I still think they'll get the result.
Aberdeen going for Bratvik in goal, Devlin, Milne, McIntyre and Frame at the back, Shinny returns in midfield, Giger and Cameron alongside him, Milanovic and Keskinen providing support for Kevin Nisbet. Brian's compromised here because Falkirk are one of the teams Aberdeen are trying to catch. So I'll ask you, Simon Donnelly, is this massive in terms of keeping Aberdeen's season going, or do you think they can make the top six?
No, I think it is. I know they've got a couple of games in hand there, but I think Falkirk, I don't want to jinx a big man beside me here, but I think Falkirk will finish top six. I think Aberdeen and Dundee won't catch them.
So if that's the case, then
it's all or bust for them. Defending their cup. It's a massive game for them as well tonight, but I don't see them in the league catching Falkirk.
I think particularly the managerial situation where they've decided that they aren't getting a permanent manager in just now, and Peter Leaven stays. I'll have a real flat end to the season then, feel about it. That's no disrespect to him, you know, it just feels like everything is just about, if they can't make top six and this goes wrong tonight, that's a lot of treading water to be done. It's not like the season finishes in a couple of weeks. We've still got a good bit to go.
Yeah, it is, but you look at their form as well. It's four losses.
But you don't think they could get dragged in another way though?
They could. I mean, there's not a lot of points in it. I mean, the cushion, I know there's games for Dundee United and Aberdeen, but the cushion of that 11 points that I'm looking at there, I don't think that will be retrieved. I think the top six are the top six just now, I think.
Brian says no comment from Falkirk's Brian Graham. Right, 01419511025. I think we've got a Motherwell fan reacting to that team, and we'll do that and whatever else you fancy next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are about to speak to Chris on the line. Let me give the pundits Brian Graham and Simon Donnelly their teaser first, and as always, your nightly reminder that we need you for the teaser. That is literally the point of it, where you send the questions in and the pundits try and answer your questions. Kieran in Springburn did it tonight, sent the email over to fulltime@clyde1.com. Kieran says, oh, he's asking a lot of you tonight as well, my goodness. Since Celtic's last game against Stuttgart in 2003, 10 players have scored for Celtic against German opposition. Can you name them? So since Celtic last played Stuttgart 2003, who are the 10 players that have scored against German opposition since?
We'll go Kuhn for last year. Yeah.
That's a good place to start. Well done.
Then we'll pause.
Then we'll need to pause. What other German teams have they played?
Alan Thompson?
Yes, against Bayern Munich way back. So you've got the most recent one and you've got the furthest back one. Now just the eight in the middle.
Between.
Are you done with that Bayern Munich tie from last season? You've given me Nicholas Kuhn. Yes, okay. I think that's a solid start from you. Kuhn and Maeda last season, Alan Thompson way back, and we'll see what else we can get. Thanks again to Kieran, and thanks to Arcaplan Glasgow, our new sponsor, for helping us out with the teaser as well. Chris is a Motherwell fan. Chris, what do you make of your Scottish Cup tie tonight? Six changes made by the manager. He's barely put a foot wrong this season. Is that going to work out all well tonight?
Well, it's worked out any other time. He surprised us with a midweek lineup. You know, the game against Hibs a couple of months ago, when he brought Priestman in for the very first time, raised a few eyebrows. The game against Celtic a few weeks back when we played with no kind of recognised striker as well. And it's good to see him mixing things up again, because obviously it keeps Aberdeen on their toes about what kind of team they're going to be coming up against. When I saw Matty Connolly starting, I don't want to say my stomach dropped a wee bit, because I think, you know, Ward has been good, but it was odd to see Ward being one of the ones to make way. But we Connolly signed his new extension last week. It shows that there's a bit of faith in him from there. Obviously, as well, with Stephen Welsh being, well, I think rather cynically cup-tied, with Celtic playing him against Auchinleck Talbot. It's going to be a strange night for the back line, but I'm glad to see that the big Björn Gulfsson is getting a start up front, because I think he's somebody that can just go and batter that Aberdeen defence.
Yeah. See, in fairness, I had forgotten, I'll hold my hands up, Matty Connolly did start against Ross County, so Jens Bertolascu clearly going down the cup goalie route, so yeah. Fair play on that one, and maybe not quite as much of a of a shock there. We were kind of, I think we were half joking, Chris. I'm not sure actually, but you don't think this is a sign of a manager who's prioritising the league and resting players? You think this is just kind of what he does?
I think it's just the way that he's doing stuff. Arguably, tonight's the biggest game of the season. You know, there's the talk of us being in the title hunt, and we are, you know, as many folk have said over the last few days, we're going to be kingmakers when it comes to the split, as long as we keep fucking on as we're doing. But at the same time, for all the great play and you know, great performances we've been putting in, there's still a part of me that thinks, is it worth it if we don't come away this season with some silverware, with something solid? Mm-hmm. We've got the best chance at silverware that we've had in a long, long time, just by the way that the cup has shown itself this year. You know, a lot of the big teams are already out. And that's not to say that, you know, we could pump Aberdeen tonight and then get put out by Dunfermline in the next round. You know, that's just as likely a thing that could happen. You know, I've followed Motherwell for nigh on 30 years now, so I know that these kind of things can happen. But I think tonight is probably the biggest game of the season. We win, we give ourselves a massive chance of getting some silverware. We lose, then all focus has to go on the breaking down Celtic, Hearts and Rangers.
This is where I wonder if there's a slight contradiction then, because I think Chris makes such a good point and he references the Celtic game and the Hibs game, and Jens Bertolasco has done a couple of things that surprises some people. But if this is the biggest game of the season, do you leave out Callum Ward? Mm. Do you know what I mean? Do you leave out Elliot Watt? Do you leave out Callum Slattery? Do you leave out Ibrahim Saeed? Do you leave out Emmanuel Longuello? Maybe a couple of them, but to do it all on one night, Brian, how does that match up with the theory that it's the biggest game of the season? Because I don't think Chris, you know, I think Chris is kind of right in that as well, where a lot of Motherwell fans are hoping for something tangible from this season.
Well, they've been getting a lot of plaudits, and rightly so, the way they play. And for a Motherwell fan, they would want some silverware at the back end of their league campaign, where they have been getting a lot of publicity. But who knows what goes on in the Motherwell staff? Do they believe that they can challenge? We'll never know, because we're not in there. But the way they can play, and the players, the confidence have been grown over the last couple of months. Even you've seen the Rangers game. I know they score late, but all the stats, they dominated the game. So that could be a big point for Rangers. But at the same time, it could be a big point for Motherwell going forward as well. It could be said earlier, if we're talking about Celtic, that word momentum, if Motherwell get that going into the split, there's no to say that they're out of the title race. We know it's only, they get that game in hand, they cut the points to 7 points. Rangers come back, I know we're running out of games, but Rangers come back for 13 or 14 points, cut it down to 2, so it is doable. And the Motherwell players in the Motherwell camp probably believe they can do it.
Because some of these guys are interchangeable, Chris, you know, that you mentioned that there may be not a lot between them, but Liam Gordon is an example. Now, I know Stephen Welsh is out, so maybe that's the answer, but Liam Gordon's only, I think, the Ross County game in the Cup, I think, is the only one he started in a few months. Mm. Regan Charles Cook doesn't tend to start many games, so it just feels like one or two steps further than some of the other rotation that's gone on. No, am I overreacting?
I think Gordon, I think it's just in Jen's wee trust tonight. I think you just need to go with that. You know, obviously, like, Charles Cook's not been a regular starter, but he has been injured for a good while. And when he came on at the weekend there, you know, he had a lovely wee nutmeg to set up the equaliser, scored a belt of their goal against Aberdeen at Pittodrie in the League Cup as well. So it seems to be a team that he thrives against playing, or thrives playing against. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's one of the things that the boss has seen. You know, this team seems to be one that gets the best out of Charles Cook in that regard. But as I say, I think it's teeing up to be an absolute cracker of a game. And I was saying to my mates, you know, after the Celtic game, you're like, right, we're going to slip up against St Mirren, and we didn't do that. And then every game after that, you're like, surely our run's going to come to an end at some time. I don't feel that tonight. I think that tonight is going to be that one that takes us into the next round, and then we'll see where the season takes us for there.
I don't know if you've ever had exactly this, Brian, but it happens every now and then. Is it weird playing the same opponent back to back when either cup football or the schedule throws that up?
It's bad enough when it's Saturday to Saturday, but just within
Sunday,
a couple of days.
Sunday, Wednesday.
It's not ideal, and it's you, as a player, you would rather not do it, but unfortunately, with the way the fixtures have planned out, the way they are. And
were you still at Dundee United when we played Celtic 4? Were you still there? Remember we played back to back?
No, I wasn't there. I was away with that.
Was that four in a row?
Four in a row.
Was it really? I thought there was maybe one or two in between. No, I remember it being four.
Right.
Oh, no way.
No.
I remember that.
Horrible. Very difficult.
Did you find then that maybe Celtic's a bit of a different proposition because you're kind of your major underdog, but did you find that, are you tempted then, so say game one doesn't go right, you then want to rip it all up and have a completely different game plan for game two, and then that, you know, if it was like
possibly, but I think with this you made an interesting point there. Maybe I mean, what I see for this manager and the way he's went about his business this season, he's very brave. He sticks to the way he wants football to be played. You know, that kind of risk taking from the back as well with the keeper we've touched on earlier in the season. He's brave and he's bold in his decisions. Maybe he backs his team, and there is something in it, the fact that they're playing Aberdeen again tonight. And he's changing up a little bit. He's seen something. And
your manager's prone to this, you know, coming up with a really specific game plan. I'm not trying to insult other managers and pretend that they don't, but you know, there are a couple of managers that give off that impression that they've got that real intense detail of... We actually saw it when Falkirk played Motherwell. You guys went completely different to try and stop Motherwell, and it worked on the night. Do you think Jens Bertelaar, maybe there is a bit of that, where tonight this is just something completely aimed at being different from the weekend and mixing it up? And
I think it's our job to speculate, but in-house, he's believing, I'm going with this plan. This is the plan that's going to get us into the next round of the Cup. This is what I believe in. I'm not trying to please X, Y and Z in the crowd, be sticking with the same players consistently. I've been changing it over the course of the season. I'm going to go and change it again with the game obviously playing Sunday and then Wednesday. And he maybe thinks he's still, Aberdeen might go with the same personnel again.
Yeah, I'm going
to
mix it up.
He's going to mix it up, and my players will be fresher getting into this tie.
I just looked up that run of results when you had the four. It was the opposite for you. So you started well, you drew the first game, but it was Celtic that kept changing because they won the next one 2-0, then the next one 4-0.
Yeah,
we just got further away.
On empty. Yeah, it wasn't a nice experience.
Gee, that was the cup, the 4-0. That was the, and then back to the League Three.
So did we draw and one was the replay? Is that right?
That's right. So 1-1 at Tannadice, and I think I worked at that. Van Dijk and Paul Payton sent off.
Aye.
Paul Dixon as well, maybe.
Right.
I remember working at that. Yeah, so then, but you had to play them in the league in between. Celtic. No, the League Cup in between.
Mm.
Sean Dillon was sent off. The feisty games.
Yep.
And well, that's the final, actually. Sorry,
incredible,
isn't it? That's the final.
It was the final.
Yeah, I remember that.
Run of,
and is that when Mackay Stephen and Armstrong moved?
It was.
Because I think they were sitting in front of me. They had moved to Celtic, but they weren't playing
Celtic
yet, or something like that. Yeah,
Celtic tracksuits. Yeah,
that's right.
Aye,
a mad time.
Made it even more difficult.
Anyway, trip down memory lane. Thank you to Chris in Larne for his thoughts on Motherwell Aberdeen tonight. And you're always trying to not be disrespectful, but both of these will be looking at what the draw can throw up, and it's an away trip to Dunfermline. So you just simply have to. You have to see that as a good thing. Not that it'll work out that way. They knock Tibbs out.
I think
all
they
that
will
stuff.
Look obviously the lower league, but listen, Dunfermline away, you never know. But yeah, I just think for the way Motherwell were performing, and you have to look at Celtic Rangers are going out in this round. It's a really good opportunity after them getting so close in the League Cup. You know, and watching that game, they were so close to getting to that final. I think it'll be another super chance for them to get there.
With Celtic and Rangers playing together, Hearts already out of the competition. That's the top three in the league at the moment, so obviously Motherwell
are sitting there in
fourth, so maybe believing get a chance of going and winning it.
You now know you'll play Dundee United. Yep. Were you keeping a keen eye on that game? You're a former Dundee United player, as we covered, but were you keeping a keen eye on that last night to see who you would get?
What was it? I actually watched it. Well, I was flitting between games, but when it was 2-1, we had 10 minutes to go, I just put it on just in case it was going to be a cup shock, but fair play to Dundee United. Got the job done with 10 men. Maybe a dodgy red card if you ask me, watching it back.
A lot of these now, as you well know, the weekend, these denying an obvious goal scoring opportunity ones.
I thought it was just a collision in the middle of the park, but listen, the boy gets sent off, and Dundee United had to be professional. They got the job done. I quite liked their second goal, but I was quite disappointed with a big striker, because I think he's in goal and he lets it go to the other boy and he goes and finish it. I think he should have Waters who went and finished
it. It did put a bit of jeopardy, didn't it? Because we were saying last night, like, as good as Spartans are in League Two, the gap's too big for it to be a difficult night. But getting up, going down to 10 men so early on certainly shakes it up a bit.
Of course it does, and it gives the boys at Spartans a belief that. And by the way, they got a goal back, so they weren't they. When the second goal went in, they didn't get their head down. They went after the game, and last 10 minutes it was old fashioned, putting the centre half up front and kind of going for it. It was actually a good watch the last 10 minutes.
Are you guys at home? Yes, we're at home.
Thanks again to Chris. Let's go on the other line where Richard waits. He's a Celtic fan. Hi, Richard.
Hey, guys.
How are you? All right?
Hi, Richard.
Yeah, good.
What are you thinking tonight?
Yeah, I was just on the points earlier on in regards to the distraction for tomorrow night's game. I think it's actually a good distraction to have, and especially for the new boys, Araujo and Kvankova and Adama Jr. I think it's good to have these guys in the European squad and build the momentum, because I don't think they've had too much match time, and I think having the extra matches makes a big difference now that we've obviously now got Chamberlain as well. So yeah, I think it's the opposite effect. I think it's good to get more game time rather than them having, you know, the weekend between the games. I know they've got the training, but I think it's always good to have match time rather than you know waiting for the full week. So that was my kind of first point.
But then, to be fair, Araujo and Chavanchira, they're kind of up to speed, are they not, or nearly there, you would say?
Well, looking at them, I couldn't see it. I mean, there wasn't much from Kvankova on the first half on Sunday, hence the reason why he was taken off.
Mm-hmm. Adamu,
yeah.
And then Kvankova came on. But I think the more match time they have, the better. And I think this is a good opportunity for them as well to shine on the big stage.
But my point earlier was, I wasn't really worried about them getting up to speed. It was the other players that were going every single game, about them tiring. Obviously, these new guys, yes, I agree, we kind of need to get up to speed very quickly. But at the same time, the other players need to rest and recover as well, so they can keep going every single week, because Celtic's team has been particularly similar in the last couple of weeks. And when you look at the January transfer window, I think Rangers strengthened in different areas, probably came out the window the better of the three at the top of the table. So that was my concern earlier on in the show.
Celtic should have numbers in some areas though, Simon, but maybe the question again is still about who, you know, what's the best solution. So Tonetke again doesn't start the game at the weekend, but look at the impact.
I was surprised with that.
What's right now, and I'm asking a lot of you because a couple of the new signings are just in. Forgive me for scaring the Celtic fans, but you're in charge of a must-win game tomorrow. What's the best front three right now, in your opinion?
The big lad Chavanchira, would lead the line for me. I'd play Tonetke. I'm surprised he didn't start the weekend, because I thought he did well in the previous game, and he seems to have a bit more belief. We touched on like some Maloney and players that played at that area of the pitch, I think, have instilled a wee bit of belief in him. He's changed his game a wee bit. He's a wee bit more direct as well. We're getting a wee bit more in product. It'd be Tonetke, Chavanchira, and who is the third?
Well, if that's the case, you need to either play Maeda on the right, or you don't play him at all. And then it's Yang or it's James Forrest. I mean, we've not seen a lot of him. Vuka yet, he's not in the European squad anyway. No. But so do you see what I'm saying there? Because there are numbers. Because, by the way, Iheanacho's still around.
Yeah.
And Adamu started at the weekend. But is it hard to pin down a strongest three out of those?
It probably is. I think maybe lean towards Maeda again. I don't know. A European night, his pace.
No, this is your team. Don't worry. Yeah, Maeda, don't worry about
Maeda then. Maeda, Tonetke, and Chavanchira.
I would play Yang. I thought Yang was hard, didn't he? At the weekend against Kilmarnock, I thought he'd probably had a better first half than Maeda did, but he was the one that got taken off, so sometimes that's just the way it goes.
Do you fancy Celtic tomorrow, Richard?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think, well, obviously the last time we played them was in 2003, and we got to a certain UEFA Cup final. I've got to take that as a positive. I don't think, you know, there's many teams that will come to Celtic Park and take a result off us, and I think, you know, the momentum is with us with the Utrecht game. So yeah, I don't see any reason why we can't get a positive result.
Thank you very much. That was Richard from Falkirk on 0141 951 1025. How are you two faring on this teaser. Richard referenced the last time Celtic played Stuttgart in 2003. Since then, 10 players have scored for Celtic against German opposition. You've got Nicholas Kuhn, you've got Daizen Maeda, you've got Alan Thompson. Any more?
Ingles.
No.
Callum McGregor against Bayern Munich.
Yes. We, and Brendan Rodgers' first spell, was that?
I think so.
Who scored against Leipzig then?
Kieran Tierney.
Yep, that was the, again, the kind of first Leipzig game way back. You were thinking of last season.
I think the
season,
recent one, I thought Ingles had scored in that game. Who scored in the Leipzig game?
Any others that jump out before I give you some thinking time?
I've wrote one down, but I'm not so sure. Hudson Edward?
Yes, against Leipzig as well, back in 1819. So you're doing fairly well. We'll get the rest of the answers and the game at Pittodrie will kick off when we return.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Brian Graham and Simon Donnelly are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Why not give us a call? You still can. We can squeeze them in before the end of the show. We're kicking off between Aberdeen and Motherwell in the Scottish Cup, so we'll keep an eye on the early stages there, tell you anything you need to know. We mentioned Motherwell making those six changes, quite a bold team selection by Jens Bertel Askew. We'll find out if it works out and which of the teams goes on to face Dunfermline in the next round. So that's kicking off right about now. What about you on, in fact, you know what, see, before your teaser, let me run this past you, because how do you fancy raising some money for children in Glasgow in the West and enjoying a night of comedy whilst you're at it? That sounds a bit like a win-win for me, to be honest. So why not head along? Clyde One are hosting our very own pure funny comedy night at Blackfriars Basement in Glasgow on Thursday the 5th of March. The lineup is brilliant. It features Kate Hammer, Pierce Higgins, Fudgy McFadden, and a very special guest opener. It's not going to be Gordon DL, is it? Could you imagine?
Stand up.
Best jokes. Plus our headliner is the brilliant Susie McCabe, who won the Sir Billy Connolly Spirit of Glasgow Comedy Award in 2024. She's playing three shows at the King's as part of the Glasgow International Comedy Festival, but this is your chance to see her in a tiny room of less than 200 people. So that'll be really good. That'll be funny. Grab your tickets now. £20 per person, four comedians, plus a guest on the night. Head over to Cash for Kids West on Instagram and Facebook to get involved. Right, you do have time. We're running out of time, but you still could just about squeeze some calls in if you fancy. I'm just wondering if there's any other news stories doing the rounds that we haven't ticked off today that we should have given some attention to. I don't think so. I think it's all about the cup tonight, Europe tomorrow, and then back onto that title race. In fact, well, speaking of which, we've left out one of the main protagonists. Let's hear from Derek McInnes, because he was speaking today for the first time since leaving Ibrox empty-handed at the weekend.
I think when you sit back the cold light of day, we knew getting through those fixtures that were coming out away at Tannadice, St Mirren, Ibrox, dealing with Celtic, playing Hibs in the derby, we thought if we could still be top of the league when we come through those fixtures, that we had on paper potentially a good opportunity between now and the split. We are still where we are at top of the league, and it's important that we just now focus on the job in hand and not dwell too much. The fact of the matter is, before the split, we've got four games out of six at home, and our home record has been so strong, so we've got to take encouragement from that. And I want us to keep the sort of form that we've had up until now consistent, because if we are consistent with those results, then it will go down that final straight, and that's all we want to do, make sure we're still in the mix for it. And you know, whatever what others put themselves, you know, Rangers spend a fortune in January, Celtic try and get as much done in January as well already on top of what they've done, because they do know the importance of it, and it's not just each other that they're competing with. They might think it is after Saturday, but I think people would be wrong to dismiss us. We're still sitting top of the league, and we have got such a strong home record. Hopefully we can, as I say, make some hay with our upcoming fixtures.
People would be wrong to dismiss us, says Derek McInnes. That sounds perfectly fair when you're at the top of the table.
Yeah, I think so. But listen, obviously if I'm of the Celtic persuasion, I want Celtic to win the league. And I look to the side and I look at Rangers. I think Hearts have been brilliant. And I might be completely wrong, Gordon, but I just, from a Celtic point of view, I look at Rangers being the threat in the running. But listen, Derek's team have done brilliantly, and they led at Ibrox twice at the weekend. and there's some really good players. The boy Braga's header was fantastic. I just look at the guys that have come in at Rangers. They've got a wee bit of momentum as well, and you know, I think
a huge moment at Pittodrie already. Motherwell down to 10 men. Oscar Priestman shown a red card. He fouled Lyle Cameron on the edge of the box, a straight red card for the Motherwell midfielder. Motherwell hadn't had any, I don't think, until Lucas Vidinga against Rangers, and now another Oscar Priestman sent off. And that's this is what we said about, and a goal Aberdeen as well. There you go. So for all the hype, this is not to be clever after the event. I was talking to someone about this today. When you talk about kind of winning the cup or trying to win the cup, what if you go down to 10 men and concede in the first 3 minutes? You know, the nature of knockout football, I still sometimes think we overlook just how anything can happen.
Game plan's out the window right away.
Football.
It's football. It's why we love the game. It's unpredictable at times. And you go back to Sundays, the way Celtic won, then you go to the Rangers Hearts game. Fantastic advert for the Scottish game tonight. There's obviously Motherwell fans will particularly not be happy with the red card and early goal, but there's a long way to go. There could be more things happening in that game.
And Motherwell showed in the Rangers game, 10 men doesn't necessarily dent their belief and so on, but
early in the game,
it's 3 minutes in, and a goal as well.
Yeah, it's not an ideal start at all, and we've speculated on why he changed it.
And it was from that resulting free kick, in case you hadn't figured out the time. So yeah, that already looks a long way back for the much fancied Motherwell. There you go.
It does. I jinxed you, so I tipped the roll for tonight.
Absolutely did. And we'll find out whatever happens tomorrow. Whatever happens tonight, we will reflect on it all tomorrow. But we did say though, for all a lot of the hype about Motherwell, what a big opportunity for Aberdeen then to go and win this game and try and keep their season going.
Yeah, I think it does keep their season going. If Aberdeen, I mean, it's still early days in the game, but I think if they get that result, it does keep them, because as I said earlier on, I don't see them coming, making any inroads into the top six. And you know, obviously the seasons last year defending the cup, so that would be a huge boost for them, but it's early days.
Right, let's take a look at that teaser before we disappear, because you've got some work to do. We're making good progress. Kieran in Springburn sent it in, and thanks again to Arcoplan Glasgow, our new sponsors on the teaser as well. Since Celtic's last game against Stuttgart in 2003, 10 players have scored for Celtic against German opposition. You've got Nicholas Kuhn, Daizen Maeda, Odson Edward, Kieran Tierney, Callum McGregor and Alan Thompson. Do you get any others?
Carl Vickers?
No.
Dembele?
Yes, against Borussia Mönchengladbach under Brendan Rodgers the first time.
Any have we got?
You've got three to get. You've still not given me that Leipzig one from last season.
You said him. Oh, I'm not getting the credit.
Rio Hatate.
Yes, Rio Hatate, which means two more.
There's still more for that Leipzig game.
Not that one, no. Yeah, well, because I think Kuhn scored as well, but you've already got him, if that makes sense.
So
you've got one from Leipzig in 22-23 and one from Bayer Leverkusen in 21-22. He was a right back. Was it not a penalty, actually? Am I getting mixed up with the games? Wasn't here long, but it was very good. And he's tied.
Juranovic?
Yes, Josip Juranovic against Bayer Leverkusen, which means one more to get. 22-23 season against Leipzig, if you are kind of hedging your bets on Celtic attackers over the last few years.
Forrest?
No.
Scores every season.
I wasn't asking you to get it straight away, but if you were to run through likely guys in that area, then Forrest would be one.
Somebody earlier, off air.
Did I?
Aye.
Yeah, but he shook his head.
Who?
Kyogo, no?
Yeah, it wasn't him.
Oh.
Again, same kind of era, same type of successful Celtic attacker from those teams. He's still there, but he's just injured. Can't give you more than that. Oh, come on. Who's injured? A winger.
Oh, Jota.
Jota.
Come off it, honestly, you two.
But I think the centre forward. I know, it
threw me as well.
Anyway, a big, big start at Pittodrie, where Aberdeen are one up after Motherwell went down to 10 men after just 3 minutes. Oscar Priestman sent off, so Aberdeen very much in the driving seat now for a place in the next round of the Cup, but we will reflect on it all tomorrow on what will be a huge night for Celtic as well in Europe against Stuttgart. So give us a call tomorrow and enjoy the rest of your evening.